beginning in verse 1, Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, the psalmist said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at this tonight, I pray that it can be a challenge to stay true to you. Lord, this is a job. It's a full-time job. It takes every ounce of energy that we have, spiritually speaking, to stay true to you. Satan would throw up roadblocks, anything he can to get us completely out of church, or even worse, keep us in the church and become backslidden, bitter, gossipy, and all the things that go along with it. So I pray tonight that we can learn some things that will help us to not backslide. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Backsliding is probably one of the worst things there is. Verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Before then, his backsliding, he had almost slipped. He said, my feet had almost slipped. How do we overcome backsliding? You say, well, I've never backslid. You're lying. You're absolutely lying. And if you tell me that, I won't believe anything else you tell me. There's not a one of us that haven't backslid. In mind, in deed, in our heart, we've been there, done that. Maybe not everybody to the same degree, but we're backslidden. And if we're backslidden, what's that mean? That means there's a partition up between us and God. God said, I did not hear them, did not hear their prayers because of sin. Backsliding is a sin. And when you begin to backslide, oh, it's not a whole lot. You still come to Sunday school and church, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But something's going on in your heart that's not right. It may be in your family situation, may be in your job situation, may be in your church. You ever come to church and find somebody that you don't like that just rubs you the wrong way? A few of you out there that do that. I'm not going to point any fingers up. But you can let things like that eat away at you. How to overcome backsliding. Number one, go to church. The psalmist said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein, talking about the backsliding, himself as well as others. Now, what happens when we go to church? A lot of things happen. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching. Yeah, the world would look at us and think we're nuts, spending 3 hours on Sunday, an hour on Wednesday, taking our kids out of Little League and out of the public school. They think we're nuts. By the foolishness of preaching, one of the reasons we come to church is get counsel, proper counseling. You get a real bargain coming to church. You get 4 free hours of counseling every week. You don't have to lie down on a couch, although that'd be nice sometimes. I left after Sunday school this morning. Jonathan was preaching against people sleeping. I fell asleep 4 times in the pew. I don't know if I snored. Did I snore? Dolores said no. She was sitting beside me. But I did. I'm on some new medication, and I could not keep my eyes open. I went home at 10:30 and laid on the couch and woke up at 2:00. So I missed out on my hour this morning. But for 3 hours, you don't have to pay $50 an hour. You don't have to call and schedule. The schedule's the same every week. And you know that you're going to get good biblical counseling. Now, I think counselors, how did we ever make it through school without having grief counselors come in and stroke us on the back and make us feel better so we want to go back in the classroom and study hard? What a bunch of idiots. Raising a bunch of wimps. I think the counseling industry, I've probably told you this before, preachers have a tendency to repeat themselves. So if we do, just look like it's something new and share a song. But the counseling industry, I think, is a, you know what a cottage industry is? They create a circumstance that keeps them going. Much like government departments and things. Once they get started, you can't stop them. And I think that's what counseling is. Now, if you're a counselor, you're going to a counselor. If a guy's a psychiatrist, I could put up with him a little bit. He's got a doctor's degree. But these people that set out and they're taught things. So you come to church and get good biblical counseling. Okay? Now, what did we get by the foolishness of preaching? Number one, we get into the family of God. Tanya just sang, Jonathan reading the letter about the way the people responded, that they're living a good life, that they were born again, being baptized and joining the church and things. We get into the family of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." To you and I who are saved tonight, we got saved because we heard a gospel message, whether from a pulpit or across the coffee table. The Holy Spirit pricked our heart, and I said, "Yes, that's for me," and we accept Christ. And that's what the new birth is. It doesn't have anything to do with what we do. It has everything to do with what we believe that the Bible teaches. And we get into the family of God. That's a real advantage. Number two, we grow our faith when we come to church. Coming to church will really help you get into the family of God because you'll hear good gospel messages, every one geared towards drawing men to Christ that they might be saved. But once we're saved, number two, we want to grow our faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Isn't that amazing that people get out of church and they say, "Well, I just wasn't getting fed." They have to put a muzzle on not to get fed at a good Bible preaching church. They're fed, but it's like the preacher eating peas. It's something they don't want to digest, ingest, and digest. And usually, if we're in church and the thing that really pricks our heart most and almost gets us upset, that's what we need the most. If you come to church just to be stroked and made to feel good, your faith never going to grow. It's when the preacher stands up here and challenges you on your particular sin. He'll not stand up here and point out any particular person, but every once in a while the preacher knows what's going on in some people's lives, and they need to hear what he's got to say because it's based on biblical... Jackson, please don't go to sleep tonight. Last week, I scared the daylights out of him, poor kid. He'd probably never get over it. But the problem is, we don't want to hear it. It's okay when talking about somebody else's sin. But when it comes right down to ours, that's when we ought to say, "Preacher, preach it. Lay it on heavy. And come after me." So we grow our faith. Number three, we get in the family of God, we grow our faith, we generate fellowship with like-minded Christians. That's why you ought to come to church. You see, you hang out with the guys you work with. You hang out with unsaved family members. You go to their house every Sunday and have big dinner in the family. And those things are good, but not on Sunday. But a lot of them, you got a bunch of unsaved people that bring their cooler in that's filled with beer and liquor and what have you, and things that Christians ought not participate in. I don't even like to be around somebody that's drinking. If somebody come to my house and brought something like that, I would find out just as soon as I could. They probably never would come to my house anyway. But I'd open the door and I'd say, "Please take that out, put it back in your car. It's not allowed here." I want a fellowship with like-minded people. The world can say we're just a bunch of clones. Well, praise God, I'd like to be a clone of my Lord Jesus Christ. And the more I am like Him, the less I like what I see outside. 1 John 5:1-7 says, "This is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You see, I'm telling you what the Bible says. We walk in darkness. Oh yeah, all of us do. And we need to be aware of it. But verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Why did we come? Some people take their car through car wash more than they take their body through the sin cleansing wash of coming to church. I like to have my car clean, but I want to keep my heart clean more than that. I'd rather drive a dirty car and a clean heart than to have a clean heart or a clean car and a dirty heart. So that's why we come. When we fellowship with each other, we talk out in the foyer and things like that. There's one thing that I miss from churches I've been at before, and I'm not saying this in a condemning way, but a lot of churches I've been at, Sunday night after church, a whole group will go to McDonald's or somewhere like that and extend the night. That does a lot of good because it gives us more fellowship together, sometimes informal fellowship. But you know what? When you go to a place like that and you got the whole group from the church, nobody's cussing. Hopefully your kids are acting the way they ought to act. That's a testimony to the world. Oh, that's Blessed Hope Baptist Church people. Yeah, they're not bad at all. They come in here and spend a lot of money. But I like that. But it's good just to have fellowship with God's people. Now, number one is how we overcome backsliding. Number two, learn and abide by biblical convictions. Number one, going to church. Number two, learn and abide to live in and by biblical convictions. Pastor Jerry's preached up here I don't know how many times on specifics that the world sees nothing wrong with. Standards of living. I hope you can tell me what pastor's attitude towards things like that are. He said it over and over. Convictions ought to be based on what's in the center. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Don't get out to the edge and say, well, I haven't quite stepped over yet. Well, more than likely, it's just time. When the devil puts a little more enticement, a little bigger carrot, a change of a job, some pretty little lady come by, or something like that, that you're on the edge and all of a sudden you're on the outside. And you say, look back and say, how in the world did I ever get here? Verse 21 and 22 in our Psalm 72, or the 73rd Psalm, verse 21 and 22. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins inside. Verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Knew what was right and just didn't do it. You know what most people have as a rule, instead of having the Bible, and say, what thus saith the Word of God? We do things based on what feels good and what feels right. You know, the devil appears as an angel of light. And if you're not in fellowship with God, in fellowship with other believers, actively in church, your thinking will get messed up. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. And you'll begin to call good evil and evil good. In spite of what God's Word says, you say, this is what I think. Well, what you think doesn't amount to a hill of beans. That's why you come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to get counseling, so you'll think right, and when you think right, you can do right. So you learn to live by biblical convictions. Second thing under that, you learn to trust in God. Verse 28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So overcoming backsliding, number one, we go to church. Number two, we learn to live and abide by biblical conviction. Number three, we learn to trust in God. That takes a little bit of action on our part, doesn't it? We don't do anything to get saved. It's a hard job to live like you're saved. Oh yeah, it's easy not to. That's why we have so many people come and walk the aisle and get saved, and maybe come once or twice, or maybe spasmodically for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden you never see them again. Are they saved? I don't know. That's between them and God. But I don't want to be in their shoes when I face God. You learn to trust in God. Psalmist says, it's good for me to draw near to God. How do you draw near to God? Number one, go to church. That's a good beginning point. Then hide God's Word in your heart. Psalmist said, 119, verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Study the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. You say, how do you do that? I'll tell you how I do it. In my home, my TV is not turned on during the day. If I turn it on and I see some of these talks, it just turns my stomach. And that's what I want. I want to feel that way. I don't want to think, well, they got a good heart. No, they don't have a good heart. They're not saved. They're wicked, evil people. I'm not telling you to get rid of your TV, but you better manage what you look at. My TV comes on in the evening or afternoon if there's a good ball game on, or evening. Do you know what I do in the afternoon? I have a computer hooked up to my TV set, and on my computer I've got music. And all afternoon, as I'm coming in and out, or sometimes I sit in my recliner taking a nap, I turn good gospel music on. Why? Because it's filling my mind with things of God and away from the things of the world. You listen to music, and there's probably some music out there that's fairly decent. Fairly. Barely. But it's worldly. And how much better to listen to a good, godly singer? And I like to listen to people I know. I don't know everybody of every song I've got on there, but I've met most of them. And I know a little bit about them. They're godly people. You know, one of the things that really let me down, Tennessee Ernie Ford. I used to get on YouTube and listen to him on all of the gospel songs that he sang. And I read a biography. And he and his wife were both alcoholics. And one or the other of them even did some drugs. And that just ruined it for me. Because to me, he was one of the greatest gospel singers that I enjoyed listening. His voice, I just enjoyed. I can hardly stand turning on anymore. Yeah, well, you big hippie. Yeah, I'm a hypocrite. I am a hypocrite. I maybe do things as bad as he's done, maybe things even worse than he's done. I want to fill my mind with good God thinking. And that's why we come to church. We learn and abide by biblical teaching. We learn to trust in God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. That's an action verb. You draw nigh to God. See, the Holy Spirit comes and nudges you to get saved. That's God working. But after you get saved, it's not automatic. You have to draw nigh to God. You have to make an open, overt decision that I'm going to seek God and His Word and His way and His will in my life. Draw nigh to God. And then it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Most of us can't resist the devil because we've never drawn nigh to God. And that's why there's an invitation given every sermon that's preached here to come to an altar. And all of us probably need to come once in a while. We don't all need to come every week, but when we do, we need to do business with God. So number one, overcoming, we go to church. Number two, we learn and abide by biblical convictions. Number three, we learn to trust God. That's the introduction. Okay, here's the second intro. The most damaging sin today in the church is the sin of backsliding. Jesus said in Revelation 3:15, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And for the most part, most of us are in that shape. Some of you probably struggling and things, but I don't think any of us in here have to sleep out under an underpass. I haven't eaten at a food shelter. I don't know that I ever had, except when I went down to preach there. Boy, isn't God good? Isn't God good? That because we're neither hot nor cold, He's going to spew us out. Now back to Psalm 72, the psalmist said it this way in verse 2. That is for me, and it's personal. I can't answer to God for you. You can't answer to God for me. But you and I had better answer to God for ourselves. The psalmist said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The sins of backsliding. Backsliding is a sin, but when we backslide, what are some of the sins that the psalmist talks about? Well, number one, the sin of envy. Verse 3, he said, "For I was envious," the psalmist said this, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." What that means is you saw something that you wanted that somebody else had. And you felt bad because God hadn't given it to you. God's given us everything that we need to serve Him. And you start looking around. Truthfully, you ought to look around. Look at the misery of some people that are well-to-do. Robin Williams. But that's fresh on our mind this week. I have no doubt that what do they call them? Not recreational drugs. I bet you a dollar that played into it. He'd had trouble with it many times. And we could go through Hollywood. How many Hollywood people have committed suicide? And how many business people that when they're high on the horse, they've got everything. They've got money. They've got financial security. And then it takes a downturn. What have they got to lean back on after that? I've got the Lord. Now, I like being financially secure. But you know what? If my house burned today and the insurance wouldn't cover it, while the house was burning, fire truck ran over my car. God's still God. And I'm still His. And I'm not going to fret it. No reason to worry about it. The sin of envy. God gives us all that we need. Number two, the sin of self-pity. Oh my, this is so prevalent. Verse 12 to 16. "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." I'll tell you the truth, I cannot stand to be around somebody that is really deep in self-pity. Because all that they want counsel from you as a preacher or a Christian. They want you to tell them, "How can God let this happen to me? If God's so good, why is this happening?" And you give them biblical counsel, but it's just like water off a duck's back. No, I want to feel sorry for myself. Oh, woe is me. Just think about this. Whatever happens to you in your life, just ask God to let you look around a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. And it probably won't be a day before you'll see someone else that's a lot worse off than you. And then you go back and you say, "But by the grace of God, there go I." I know where I'd be if I never got saved. I'd either be dead or probably in jail. I won't tell you everything about it, but I come close to going to jail when I was in high school. But by God's grace, He spared me from it. And there's no record down Sullivan County Courthouse that I ever went down there. And I look back, this is what I talked about last week, guardian angels. In spite of our stupidity, they watch over us. And I cannot tell you how many times I said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. for doing those stupid teenager years that I could have killed somebody or been killed, that you put your hand upon me and spared me the sin of self-pity. Number three goes right along with that one, and that's the sin of self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Verses 12 to 16 again. Mark how many times the psalmist said, I had real eye problem. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I, in just that short period, I. That makes me think about something else. Somebody remember where I'm at so I can come back here. But on contemporary Christian music, and I've been in some of our Baptist churches that had begun to go that way, not to the degree that they are today, but back in the beginning. And when they started having these praise teams, I would listen to the songs. And I'd try and count how many times it said, I, me, our. It was all about me. Let me tell you something. The world is not all about you. Christianity is not all about you. It's all about Christ. And if we learn to do that, the happiness and the joy that you have in serving God is unbelievable. The sin of self-centeredness. Well, I don't know why the preacher didn't call on me to pray. Probably because he thought you were backslidden. He may know you better than you think you know, than you think he knows you. The Lord knows you better than anybody. Our pastor knows the Lord, and I think he's in touch with him from time to time. I don't know why they didn't call me to teach that Sunday school class. I've got much more ability. A preacher just preached on that. One of the preachers did here recently. It's not our ability of teaching a Sunday school class. It's how we let Christ work in us and through us. And the more humble we are in our attitude towards that, the more we will accomplish. Self-centeredness. There's another aspect of self-centeredness that is very detrimental and very backsliding. And that is coming in the church and sitting. You listen to the messages, you listen to the counseling, but there's going to be some things going on that the preacher may want you to participate in. And what do? You just want to blend in with a group where you're never singled out to do anything, never called on to be anything. You just come to church and go home. I often wonder, people that just come to church and go home, they never fellowship with us, they never talk with us, they never come to the dinners or things out here. I often wonder what goes on in their life the rest of the week once they leave church and go home. If you're not interested enough to really come in, and I don't say you have to be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. The pastor loves to have the pews filled, just people filling the pew. It's a lot easier to preach. I've preached in churches with 17 people before. I've preached in churches with 2,500 and 3,000. Let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier to preach to 2,000 than it is to 17. Now, if a church is new and 17 is all they got, and if I'm called in, I'll preach my heart out to 17 just like I would of the others. But people go home, and when they do, they put the church behind them. Now, how do we overcome backsliding? How may we do it? It's 1 minute till eight. Yeah. Okay. Number one, I'm a slow talker. This is only about a 10-minute message. It just takes me longer to say. I think I have a normal voice until I turned on one of the sermons on our website. How can anybody stand to listen to that? Sounded terrible. How can we overcome being a backslider? Number one, be with God. Verse 23 says, the psalmist said, nevertheless, after all of these bickering and complaining and self-centeredness and self-pity, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Be with God. You know, when you feel most like not going to church, that's exactly when you most need going to church. For the Holy Spirit to take something and just prick your heart with it and cause you to be drawn closer to the Lord. Be with God. But not only be with God here, be with God everywhere you go. I talked about the music I play in my home. I pay for Sirius XM radio because as I travel, I don't have to fumble through trying to find a station that I can enjoy listening to. This one comes on all across the country. Now, I don't know what you think about Southern Gospel. That's for another message. I like Southern Gospel. Not all of it, but I like a lot of it. And there's a lot of songs on there that are really heart-challenging that will just keep you thinking about God. The last thing we'll close with is, how may we avoid backsliding? Number one, be with God. Number two, be led by God. Not only take His hand, but follow Him where He goes. When He goes away, have you ever seen the little kids? You come into the store and the parents are going this way to get groceries and the kids are going this way to get candy. Well, that's the way we treat God a lot of times. When He's got our hand and beginning to lead us, we rebel against it, and we try. We want to stay with God. We don't want to turn against God, but we want God to come our way. No, it doesn't work that way. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. That's what you're getting right now. And afterward, receive me to glory. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing me to preach your word. Regardless of how good or how bad, that doesn't make a bit of difference. As long as it's biblically straight and true to your word. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of us. Lord, we're all so prone to go our own way and ignore you. Oh, not to the extent that we're going to go out and carouse and drink and gamble and all the evil vices of the world. But once we walk out the church door, our thoughts on good godly things are left behind. God, don't let us do that. Let us constantly, constantly, constantly be in communion with you. Have good thoughts in our mind about the things of God. And when we do that, Lord, you give us opportunities to witness to unsaved people that wonder why we have such a good and glorious life. It's all because of you. And I thank you for that. Lord, there may be one here not saved tonight. I pray that tonight would be the day of salvation, the night of salvation, that they would trust Christ and be eternally saved. And Lord, for all the rest of us, help us just to love you and serve you more than we ever have before. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.